Let it be said of us that we live to be a blessing for life.
Welcome to the Before You Go Morning Show. A great day begins with good coffee, music, and encouragement. Our host, Pastor Tom Cox, shares down-to-earth insight into life's issues through the wisdom of the Bible. This broadcast is brought to you by New Song Church, a place to be loved, encouraged, and taught the Word of God.
Well, good morning. This is Pastor Cox again coming to you from New Song Church. We're glad to have you in Radio Land to be able to be tuned into our radio program today. We'd like to continue on where we stopped last week, hurriedly stopped, I'd rather add. But one of the things I want you to see here is that our Father has an assignment for every one of us and the church. We have our own assignments, and we have a collective assignment as a church. And so, you know, that we need to know where the church is in these days that we live in now. There are so many scriptures that allude to the fact that the church should be a powerful church, and we should exemplify the power of God in our lives and to other people. Prove in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, prove what the will of God is. That good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. We have to be able to prove that God has given us the power to reign and rule over sin. And I'm pretty sure that's where we stopped last week. But I want to go ahead and say before we really get started is welcome to our broadcast. And I hope you're on your way to church this morning. If you're not, shame on you. If you're bedfast, then we want to pray for you and believe God that He's going to raise you up off the bed of affliction. So just sit back and listen, and let's see what the Lord has to say to all of us this morning concerning the Word of God. Well, last week we stopped in Romans chapter 5, and Romans chapter 5 is really, really an important scripture or an important passage concerning what we're talking about today, and that is the power of God and the grace and righteousness, how it's all linked together. Because if we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus, and I can't hammer that enough toward Christian people. If you're an unbeliever, well, you don't have a right to the kingdom of God and all the promises that God has given the believers. And the Bible said all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus, and they are yes and amen to the glory of God by us. In other words, when believers receive one of God's promises, he gets the glory for that, because it's our Father making provision for us and giving us the things to be able to glorify Him with. That He is a good Father, He loves us, and He wants to make provision for all of His children. God doesn't really look at one more than He does another one, and He sees some better than others. He just loves us with a love that's unconditional. And for that, He has called us into an assignment to be able to do what He wants us to do because of His love. He loves for it. And He put the talents and just everything that we have on the inside of us, the talents and all that, the giftings and callings and all that goes with that, He put that on the inside of us to glorify Himself. And that's the thing that the church has missed out on. We don't even exemplify or let people see the power of God in our lives, because we don't, most of the time the church has never recognized it for itself. And you know, I read those scriptures for you last week about the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former, and then until the restitution of all things takes place in Acts 3:19 and verse 21. And what that day spoke of, we went to Genesis 1:28 and talked about that. Our job is to rule and reign on this earth, and to bring the earth under subjection to the rulership of the domain of the kingdom of God. And the king's domain is what kingdom really means. And so we see here that grace and righteousness plays an important part of that. And, you know, if we don't understand our salvation, we'll never walk in that, because the enemy will always be able to steal from us and tell us that we are not who God says we were, and that's what He done to Adam and Eve in the garden. So and the latter part of Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 says that we, those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now, the gift of righteousness is simply given to us when you get saved. First Corinthians 1:30 says that we've been redeemed and we've been made righteous and we've been sanctified and all the things that go along with that. And that redemption really is part of who we are. You know, I heard somebody say this the other day that, you know, about the curses in the third to fourth generation. And I have believed that for I don't know how many decades. I have believed that we're under, you know, the curse as a believer. We're still under the curse of our parents and all that went before us in the third and fourth generation. But I read in the Bible that Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And I want to simply say that because of that, listen very carefully to me now, if you understand that you've been redeemed from the curse of the law, then the enemy cannot put that on you because you have been set free from the curse. Romans 8, 1 and 2 talks about that. I want to just jump over there real quick and read that scripture for you because I want you to see it for yourself. He said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That means a believer. If you're saved, you've been born again, there is no condemnation to you. God does not look at you in a condemning way. He doesn't condemn you. Matter of fact, He has forgiven you because in verse 2 He said, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did, sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh as an offering for sin, and He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us or met, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And what He said to us in verse 8 there, and those who are in the flesh cannot please God. However, in verse 9 He said, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. How come? Because the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, my friend. And if the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, you cannot be led by your flesh. God don't look at you as being led by your flesh. He said, you're not in the flesh. Colossians 3:3 said, that we have died and our life is hid in Christ. So that scripture in Romans 8, 1 and 2 ought to really come alive to you and to me and every Christian that walks the face of the earth to know that God is not in this thing to condemn us. He's in this thing to correct us. And don't get me wrong here by saying that everything we do is all right. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that He's not going to. The Spirit of God is in us. Titus 2:11 says to teach us how to deny the things that are not right and how to walk in upright things so that we're pleasing to our Father God. Now again, our assignment back in Genesis chapter 1:28, what they said was, and I talked to you about this just a while ago, that our assignment is to bring light into the darkness of people's lives. We're to be able to set people free. Well, most Christians aren't free themselves. And so what I want to just say to us is that we need to learn how to be free and walk where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How many people that you know as Christians do not have the Spirit of God living on the inside of them? Not one. Not one. Not one. If you've been born again, the Spirit of God, the living God, lives on the inside of you. The Spirit of Jesus Christ and our Father lives on the inside of us, and we have been made one with the Father. Read John 17. I don't have time to go into that today, but read John 17. It'll hook you up with that business of being one with the Father, Jesus, the prayer that Jesus prayed there. you know, in Exodus over there, God told them, I want to share something with you here right quick. In Exodus 3, verse 8, He said, I'm going to give you a land that flows with milk and honey. And chapter 13 in Exodus, verse 5, the promise was given that God had given them the land, and this was their land. Now watch this. There's a principle here to be learned. God gave them the land, but He said to them, every place that the sole of your foot touches, you can have it. Well, how come He gave it to them, but then they had to go in and possess the land? Now, there's a real story in this here. And the story is this: their control was equal to their maturity or what they had learned. What I'm saying to you, God never just hands something over to us without teaching us how to be a good steward of it. That is, how to possess the land and what our inheritance really is, and that we have possession of the things that God has already given us. Now, that's a 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 kind of deal. But this is really, if you can wrap your mind around this, I tell you, it's going to take you somewhere in the kingdom, because these things really will change the way you do business with the world. It will change you the way you do business with the Father God, because you will have learned that the Father God has already done things for us, and yet we keep asking Him to do things for us when we don't recognize that He's already given these things to us. Now I want to take you back to 2 Peter chapter 1, and I've had to learn these scriptures. This has been part of my the last 2 or 3 years. These scriptures have really become alive to me, and I want to make them alive to you by telling you what they are, and the Holy Spirit bring revelation to you so that you can see what all this means to you. And grace and peace, he said in chapter 1 and verse 2, 2 Peter 2:1-2, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and his own excellence. Now verse 4 said, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped corruption that's in the world by lust. What he just simply saying to us is, listen, we live, sometimes we walk in a corrupt manner, and that's not what God is after in us. What he's trying to get us to do is trying to get us to see that his nature has been deposited on the inside of us, and that we can walk in the things because of the kingdom of God and his promises, simply because of what he said here, that we have become partakers of the divine nature. His nature has been placed on the inside of us. You don't have two natures, my friend. You don't have the nature of this world, of the flesh, and you don't have the nature of the Father God. There's no way in the world that you can be called double-souled. You have one soul. Now, you can be double-minded if you're wishy-washy. I'm not negating the Word of God here, but I'm just simply saying, legally, God said that you have already been, God has already put on the inside of you His Spirit, so that you don't have to think another way. If you choose to think another way, it's because you have to work at not listening to the Holy Spirit, rather than trying to work to try to hear Him and be led by the Spirit. He said, if you're the sons of God in Romans chapter 8, you will be led by the Spirit of God. And so it's not something that we do. We're led by the Spirit of God sometimes to do things, and we don't even know that we've been led by the Spirit of God. He takes us in directions and influences us. We don't even know that He's doing that. Sometimes He protects us in our salvation, and we don't even know that He's doing that. You know, and I want to give you an example for that right away here. And I want to say this, that how many times were you stopped on the road, or something happened to your car, you couldn't get started, you couldn't go somewhere, or something happened, you were supposed to go somewhere, and you couldn't go. Something ended up, you couldn't go do that. And come to find out, it would have been disastrous for you to have gone that way, because the devil was going to try to mess you up in some things. But God protected us from that trial, because he knew what was out there, and the trap that the devil was setting for us. And I want to let you know that the devil sets traps for us all the time. And that's the thing that we need to be aware of. We have a real enemy, my friend, out there. His name is the devil. Lucifer is his name. And he's against us all the time, and tries to fight us and keep us from entering into the things that God has made provision for us for. And so, God's dominion in us flows so that the ability that God put on the inside of us as New Testament Christians, that we have to learn how to rule in the kingdom of God. So we're going to stop here, and we'll get off, and we'll talk about this again next week. So there's just so much here that we're going to have to get off. Lord bless you. Have a good day.
We thank you for joining us for today's Before You Go morning show. We hope that you were touched by today's conversation. If you have any questions or would like more information about this broadcast or New Song Church, call us at 812-754-1777 or connect with us on the web at www.newsongchurchscottsburg.com.